So, who are we presenting today, Mr. Herdman? Remind me, will you?
Miss Hannah Gordon, Mr. Gary Bond, Mr. Dinsdale Landon, and Miss Samantha Bond.
Ah, yes, yes. And young Mr. Jeremy Northam, I see. Well, this should be popular. Good luck, ladies. Splendid frock,
Windsor, sir. Miss Windsor.
Thank you, Sir Charles. It cost me all last week's wages.
Oh.
Might I have a word?
Of course, my dear lady.
It's just that I do feel that as I've now been in the company 2 seasons...
Indeed, and how the audience enjoy seeing you.
Rise would be very much...
Rise? Ah, yes, yes. Bigger part. I see, I see. Now, Mr. Herdman, who plays Mrs. Rankling in today's performance of The Schoolmistress?
Mrs. Chivers, sir.
Nonsense. Miss Windsor shall play Mrs. Rankling. Give Chivers the night off.
Why, thank you, sir. And a new wig to go with the part of an admiral's wife.
Well,
I must remind you, Sir Charles, that only last week your theatre cat...
Yes, 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 all right. Now, on. Let's entertain and give pleasure. Good luck.
Curtain up, it will meet everybody.
Well done, sir. But we're not out of the woods yet. Mr. Panero's in your office and demands you pay him for his play.
Well, let's see it first, shall we? And decide if it's worth a tenner. The Schoolmistress.
Travelling trunk ain't half heavy, Jane.
Only for them with no strength in their muscles. Do you happen to know what time Mrs. starts?
2:30, I heard say.
It's a queer thing her going away like this alone. Mm. Not to say nothing of a schoolmistress leaving a lot of foolish young girls for a month or 6 weeks.
Mm. Cook in the parlourmaid got rid of too. Well, it's not much of a Christmas vacation we shall get, you and me, Jane.
You're right, Tyler. Mm. Let's see, how many of our young ladies haven't gone home for their holidays?
Well, there's Miss Hawkins.
Her people's in India.
Miss Johnson.
Her people's in the divorce court.
Miss Esselrig.
Oh, she ain't got no home. She's an orphan, studying for to be a governess.
Then there's this new girl, Miss Rankling. Now, why is she to spend her Xmas at our college, huh? Well, she's the daughter of Admiral Rankling, and the Ranklings live just round the corner at Collingwood House.
Oh, she's been falling in love or something, and has got to be locked up.
Well, then, last but not least, there's the individual who is kicking his heels about the house and giving himself the airs of the haughty.
What? Mrs.'s husband? Mark my word. If ever there was a mystery, there's one.
Who is he? Mrs. brings him home about a month ago and doesn't introduce him to us or to nobody. The order is she's still to be called Miss Dyer. And we don't even know his nasty name.
She calls him Ducky.
Yes, but we can't call him Ducky.
There are other names I'd like to use. Well, best get this trunk moved. Lift up your ring. There, what's your drop, Tyler?
Just some fireworks.
You never keep them in your pocket, do you?
Oh, fireworks is my only dissipation. There ain't much danger unless anybody lunges at me. Then friction is the risk I run.
Oh, don't, Tyler. How can you have such an anchoring?
Oh, nice. More than an anchoring. I love to ward them and mellow them. Today they're damp. Tomorrow they're dry. And when the time comes for to let them off...
Then they don't go on.
Perhaps not. And it's their horrible uncertainty what I crave after. Oh. Now, don't tell no one, Jane. They's my only pleasure.
Oh. Oh. There are Miss Dyer's boxes. She really is going today. Oh, I'm so happy I'm intruded.
What an inexpressible relief. Oh, Tyler, I'm dissatisfied with the manner in which my shoes are polished. Mm.
Yes, and Tyler, you never fed my mice last night.
Well, it ain't my place. Birds and mice is Jane's place.
Yeah. Why,
human boy!
Don't shake him.
Why, Billy, leave that boy alone.
But Peggy won't feed my my darling pet.
And he is generally a lower order, Peggy.
Jane, take Tyler and the trunk away.
You silly girls. To make an enemy of the boy at the very moment we depend upon his devotion.
Oh? Hadn't we sworn to help Dinah Rankin with our last breath? Hadn't we sworn to free her from the chains of tyranny and oppression, and never to eat much till we have seen her safely and happily by her husband's side? But we can't tackle to a pale and stumpy boy, you know.
Ermentrude, we can. We've got to. If Dinah's husband is ever to enter this house, we must crouch before the instrument who opens the door, however short, however pasty.
Are you there, girl?
Oh, here's Dinah!
Dinah! We've been waiting for you, Dinah!
And now you're going to keep your promise to us, ain't you? To tell us all about it from beginning to end.
Oh, I can't. I don't like to.
But you must!
You must!
We've only heard your story in bits.
But where's Miss Dyer?
Out, out, out! Now then, Mrs... What's your name, Dinah?
Paulover. Mrs. Reginald Paulover. Well, dears, I met him at a party at Mrs. St. Dunstan's in the Cromwell Road. He was presented to Mama and me by Major Padgate. I bowed, of course. And then Mr. Paulover, Reginald, asked me whether I didn't think the evening was rather warm.
It was his conversation that attracted you, I suppose.
Oh, no. Love came very gradually. We were introduced at about 10 o'clock, and I didn't feel really drawn to him till long after 11. Then, next day, being Ma's at-home day, Major Padgate brought him to tea.
How old is your Reginald?
He's much my senior. He was 17 in November. Well, the following week, Reginald proposed to me in the conservatory. He spoke very sensibly about settling down and how we were not growing younger and how he'd seen a house in Park Lane which very likely would be to let some day. And then we went into the drawing room and told Mama.
Well?
Oh, I shall never forget the scene. I never shall.
Don't cry, Dinah.
Don't cry, Dinah. Mama, who's very delicate, went into violent hysterics and tore at the hearthrug with her teeth. But a day or two afterwards, she grew a little calmer and promised to write to Papa, who was with his ship at Malta.
And did she?
Yes. Papa, you know, is Admiral Rankin. His ship, the Pandora, has never run into anything, and so Papa is a very distinguished man.
And what was his answer?
He telegraphed home one terrible word. Bosh.
Oh!
The telegraphic rate from Malta necessitates abruptness, but I can never forgive the choice of such a phrase. But it decided our fate. 3 weeks ago, when I was supposed to be selecting wools at Whiteley's, Reginald and I were secretly united at the registry office.
Oh, how lovely!
How romantic! We declared we were much older than we really are. But as Reginald said, trouble had aged us, so it wasn't a story. At the doors of the registry office, we parted.
I couldn't have done that.
And when I reached home, there was a letter from Papa ordering Mama to have me locked up at once in a boarding school. And here I am, torn from my husband, my letters opened by Miss Dyett, quite friendless and alone.
No, that you're not, Dinah. Listen to me. Miss Dyett is going out of town today and I'm left in charge. I'm a poor governess, but... playing jailer over bleeding hearts is not in my articles. And if your husband comes to Volumnia House and demands his wife, he doesn't go away without you. Does he, young ladies?
No.
Oh? Who can it be?
Miss Dyett. Oh, do peep from the window, Peggy.
No, it isn't. It's the postman.
A letter from Reginald.
Anything for us, Tyler, dear?
One for Miss Dinah Rankin. And my orders is to hand Miss Ranklin's letters to the missus.
Oh.
Miss Heselrigg.
For me?
Yes. Oh, crikey. This must be for him.
Miss Dyett's husband.
The mystery. Let's see.
It's readdressed from his club. Gracious. The Honourable Vere Quickett.
The Honourable?
What's that mean?
Young ladies, we have been entertaining a swell unawares. Take it up, Tyler.
Oh.
Now... who can my letter be from? Oh, from Dinah's Reginald.
Read it. Oh, read it.
Dear Miss Heselrigg,
Heaven will reward you. The letter wrapped around a stone which you threw me last night from an upper window of Volumnia House was handed to me after I had compensated the person upon whose head it unfortunately alighted.
Oh.
The news that Dinah has one friend in Volumnia House enabled me to get a little rest, not having closed my eyes for 11 nights.
Oh.
Now, dear Miss Heselrigg, inform Dinah that our apartments are quite ready and that I shall present myself at Volumnia College to fetch away the dear love of my heart tonight at 9:30.
Tonight!
Tonight!
Oh, I've come over so frightened. Finish the letter.
Please assure Dinah that I shall love her till death and that the piano is now moving in. Dinah is my one thought. Kiss my angel for me. Our carpet is Axminster, and I regret to say second hand. But, oh, our life will be a blessed, blessed dream, the worn part going well under the centre table. This evening at 9:30... Gratefully yours, Reginald Percy Paulover. Oh, P.S. I shall be closely muffled up, as the corner lamppost under which I stand is visible from the window of Admiral Ranklin's dining room. Oh, I'm so excited. I wish somebody was coming for me.
We shall be frustrated by Jane.
Or Tyler. Leave them to me. I'll manage them.
But there's Miss Dyett's husband.
What? Let the mysterious person who has won Miss Dyett pause before he steps between a young bride and bridegroom. Ladies, Miss Dyett's husband is ours for the holidays. One frown from him and his dinners shall be wrecked, his wine watered, his cigars dampened. He shall find us not girls, but gorgons.
Oh, Dyett!
Quickly go.
Peggy, hide the letter.
Peggy.
Miss Dyett.
How have the young ladies been employing themselves?
I've been reading aloud to them, Miss Dyett.
Is Mr. Quack... Is my husband down yet?
I've not had the pleasure of seeing him, Miss Dyett.
You can join the young ladies. Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Dyett.
Now, if Vera will only remain upstairs a few moments longer, I'll lock this door, then no one can interrupt me. Now, for Mr. Bernstein... Oh, I do hope he's still in the street. Mr. Bernstein! Mr. Bernstein!
Oh. I have left the door of the latch in the hall. Come in, please.
Oh, please, Lord, let his bulk not delay him.
This way, Mr. Bernstein.
Oh, my dear Miss Dyett.
Thank heavens. And thank you for following me so quickly.
Oh, you seem so agitated that I come off your cab, Mr. Norton.
Agitated, yes. Tell me, miserable woman that I am, tell me, what did I sound like at rehearsal this morning?
Capital, capital. Your voice came out rich and beautiful. Max, my word, you will make a hit tonight. Have you seen your new name in the bills?
The bills?
The play bills.
I should drop flat on the pavement if I did.
Oh, it looks very fine. Miss Gonstance Delaporte, that's Queen Honorine in Otto Bernstein's new comic opera, Pierrette. A vast appearance in London.
Oh, how disgraceful.
Disgraceful? To sing such melodies? No, no, please. Why did you appeal to me 3 weeks ago to put you in the way of getting through the Christmas vacation?
You don't know everything. Sit down. I can trust you. You are my oldest friend. Mr. Bernstein, I am no longer a single woman.
Oh, I am very pleased. I wish you many happy returns. Oh, no, I congratulate you.
I am married secretly. Secretly. Because my husband could never face the world of fashion as the consort of the proprietress of a scholastic establishment. You will gather from this that my husband is a gentleman.
Oh, so easy.
It had been a long-cherished ambition with me, if ever I married, to wed no one but a gentleman, a man of birth, blood, and breeding. Respect my confidence. I have wedded the Honourable Vere Quackett.
Ah, is he a very nice man?
Nice. Mr. Bernstein,
You are speaking of a brother of Lord Limehouse.
Lord Limehouse? Let me think. Yeah, he is in the bankruptcy court.
Certainly. So is Harold Archidecony Quicket, Vere's youngest brother. So is Loftus Martineau Quicket, Vere's cousin. They have always been a very united family. But, dear Mr. Branstein, you have accidentally probed the one, I won't say fault, the one most remarkable attribute of these great Saxon Quickets.
Ah, yes, I see. You have to pay your husband's little bill.
Quite so. That is it. I have the honour of being employed in the gradual discharge of liabilities incurred by Mr. Vere Quicket since the year 1876. I am also engaged in the noble task of providing Mr. Quicket with the elaborate necessities of his present existence.
I know now why you wanted mine help.
Oh, yes. It is absolutely necessary that I should increase my income. In my despair at facing this genial season, I wrote to you.
Proposing to turn your capital voice to account. You are.
Quite so. And suggesting that I should sing in your new oratorio.
Well, you are going to do so.
Nay, you have induced me to figure in a comic opera.
Yeah, but I have told you I have used the music of my new oratorio for my new comic opera.
Oh, yes. That is my only consolation.
Ah, will your good gentleman be in the stalls tonight?
In the stalls? At the theatre? Hush, Mr. Bernstein. It is a secret from Vere. Lest his suspicions should be aroused by my leaving home every evening, I have led him to think that I am visiting a clergyman's wife at Hereford. I shall really be lodging in Henrietta Street. Can't God.
Oh, fine, I'll tell him all about it.
Nonsense. Vere is a gentleman. He would insist upon attending me to and from the theatre.
Well, I should hope so.
No. He is himself a graceful dancer. A common chord of sympathy would naturally be struck between him and the Corypheus. Oh, there is so much variety in Vere's character.
Caroline!
Yes, Vere! Goodbye, dear Mr. Bernstein. You understand why I cannot present you.
Goodbye, till tonight. Mark my bird, you will make a great hit.
Caroline!
No! Let yourself out.
Good luck to you!
Yes. Yes.
I declare to my new oratory, I mean my comic opera.
Go!
I say, Caroline, unlock this door.
Is that my darling Vere?
Yes.
There we are, dear.
Good morning, Caroline. Good morning.
How is my little pet today? Naughty Vere is down later than usual.
Well, it isn't my fault, dear. The florist was late in sending my flower.
What a shame.
Oh, and by the by, Carrie, I want some fresh scent in my bottles.
My Vere shall have it.
Thank you.
Vere, dear, have you forgotten what today is?
December the 22nd.
Yes, but it's the day on which I am to quit my Vere.
Oh, you've stuck to going, then. Well, I dare say you're right, you know.
But you don't say anything about your own lonely Christmas. I have married a man who is too unselfish.
Lonely? By Jove, these inquisitive pupils of yours won't let a fellow be lonely. Upon my soul, I might just as well be nobody the way I'm treated.
Oh, my king! Don't say that. Have you thought about the Christmas expenses?
Frankly, my dear, I have not.
Have you forgotten that my rent is due on Friday?
Completely. The fact is, Caroline, I have had a note sent on to me from the club from my friend Jack Mallory. His first lieutenant on the Pandora, you know, and just home after 4 years at Malta. He reached London yesterday and writes me, "Now, old chap, do let's have one of our rollicking nights together."
What?
And, eh? He writes me, "Now, old chap, do let me give you the details of our new self-loading 80-ton gun." Well, Carrie, what the deuce am I to do? It seems a nice gun. Carrie, what is your Vere to do? Carrie, look at your Vere. Vere speaks to you. Oh, let me sit on your lap, dearest. Eh? Carrie, darling, you know, old Jack is such a devil, an exceedingly nice devil. Now, I can't show up at the club after sending my resignation. They'd quiz me awfully. But I must entertain poor old Jack. Eh? Resignation sent in through misunderstanding, eh? 10 little guinea whinnies, eh?
Not a guinea whinny. For a club, not half a guinea whinny.
Caroline, you forget what is due to me.
I wish I could forget what is due to everybody. Oh, don't be cross, Vere. I'll fetch your hat and coat, and Vere shall go out for his little morning stroll. And if he promises not to be angry with his Caroline, there are 5 shillings to spend.
My darling.
Oh, spoilt boy. Now, I've things to do, so don't delay me, Ducky.
Certainly won't. Now, what am I to do about Jack? I can't ask him here. Couldn't stand the chaff about marrying a boarding school. No, I can't ask Jack here. Why can't I ask Jack here? Everybody in bed at 9 o'clock, square the boy Tyler to wait. Bachelor lodgings near Portland Place, extremely good address. Jack shall give me the details of that 80-ton gun. Yes, and we'll load it, too. While I'm out, I'll send this wire to Jack. Come up tonight, dear old boy, 9:30 sharp. Diggings of humble bachelor, 80 Duke Street, Portland Place. Bring 2 or 3 good fellows. Vera. Oh, now, what is the deuced address of his club? No, can't remember it. I have a club list upstairs. I better go and look at it. Ah, I feel much cheered.
Well, the mystery seems pleased with himself. What's he up to, I wonder? Now, where are those luggage labels Miss Dyett has asked me to address? What's this in the blotter? Oh, dear old boy. Oh, diggings of humble bachelor. Oh, I say.
It is in Green Street, Piccadilly. Ah.
Miss Dyett, passenger to Hereford.
I fancy I left an 80-ton gun. I think I've mislaid.
Would this be what you're looking for?
That's it, yes. Give it to me, please.
Diggings of humble bachelor, eh?
Oh, you vexing girl.
Bring 2 or 3 good fellows.
I shan't send it. I never meant to send it.
Oh. I think perhaps I'll take care of it.
Oh, you won't tell my wife. You will not dare to tell my wife. Don't! Do you know any bad language?
I went to the Lord Mayor's show once. I heard a little.
Then I regret to say I use it to you, Miss Heselrigg. I use it to you.
Peggy, you can address the labels in another room, please.
Will she tell?
He is in our power.
Yes, Miss Dyett.
Here's your hat and coat, Ducky. You look sickly, my dear.
I shall be better after my stroll, Caroline.
As you have some solitary evenings before you, you may lay in a few cigars, dear darling.
Thank you, Carrie.
But for the sake of our depressed native industries, I beg that you will order those of purely British origin.
Yes, Carrie.
Now then, let me see you put your pinkies in your mitts.
Admiral and Mrs. Ranklin is comes.
Ah, come, Tyler. Ah, come.
Dinah's parents. I must see them.
Show them in.
Oh, no, they knew me. They're old friends of my family. I'll run off them for my walk. Oh, dear.
In here.
Thank you, Tyler. My dear Mrs. Rankling, this is Admiral Rankling. Admiral Rankling, so pleased. Pray, sit by the fire.
The Admiral has called upon you, Miss Dyett, with reference to our child, Dinah.
whom we find the charming daughter of charming parents.
Bosh!
Oh, Dinah's obstinacy is a very serious shock to the Admiral, who is naturally unused to insubordination.
Naturally.
The Admiral has been stationed with his ship at Malta for a long period. In fact, the Admiral has not brightened our home for over 4 years.
How more than delightful to have him with you again.
The Admiral has one of those fine English tempers, generous but impetuous. You may guess the sad impression Dinah's ingratitude has produced upon him. Only yesterday, the Admiral read King Lear's curse after dinner in place of thanksgiving, and it is only owing to my entreaties that he has consented to give Dinah one last chance of reconciliation.
Emma!
Yes, Archibald?
Your bonnet's on one side. Again.
Thank you, Archibald. We leave town for the holidays tomorrow. It rests with Dinah whether she spends Christmas in her papa's society or not.
I see.
All we require is that Dinah should personally assure us that she has banished every thought of the foolish young gentleman she met at Mrs. St. Dunstan's.
I shall summon her this instant. If I am any student of the passing fancies of a young girl's mind. Jane... Roll down your sleeves.
Oh.
Where is the manservant?
On a errand, ma'am.
Ask Miss Dinah Rankling to be good enough to step downstairs.
Ma'am.
Now, you will be calm, Archibald. You will be moderate in tone. Oh, dear. Poor Dinah.
Stop that fidgety cough, Emma. Brace up.
Even love matches are sometimes very happy. Ours was a love match, Archibald.
Be quiet. We're exceptions.
Oh, Miss Dyer.
So you mutineer.
Archibald.
You good-for-nothing girl. Do you know you have upset your mother?
Archibald, Dinah, you're shaking.
Another young lady.
What? Not who? Who has led me into this unpardonable error of judgment?
Oh, my dear young lady, pray think of this only as an amusing mistake. The Admiral has been away for more than 4 years. Dinah was but a child when he last saw her. Oh, dear me!
Be quiet, Emma. You'll make a scene.
Now, child, where is Miss Rankling?
Miss Rankling presents her compliments to Miss Dyett and her love to her papa and mamma. And as her mind is quite made up, she would rather not cause distress by granting an interview.
Archibald, be yourself. Remember, you have to respond for the Navy at a banquet tonight. Think of your reputation as a genial after-dinner speaker.
Thank you, Emma. Emma?
Yes, Archibald?
Your hair's rough. Come home. Madam, my daughter is in your charge. Do you receive instructions from my solicitor?
Peggy, the Admiral has a lot of wind in his sails.
Indeed.
Oh, dear. Here is beer.
I say, what's the matter with the Ranklings? Oh, has that vexing girl told Caroline?
2 o'clock. I must remove to Henrietta Street.
My... darling.
My love. All's well, she purrs.
I am going to prepare for my journey. The train leaves Paddington at 3.
Just arrived for you, sir.
What is this?
My cigars, Carrie. Brought them with me in a cab.
Indeed. Was the tobacconist anxious to be relieved of all his stock?
Now, Miss Heselrigg, we will come to a distinct understanding.
If you please.
In the first place, you will return me my telegram.
I can't.
You mean you won't?
No, I can't.
Why not?
I have just sent it to the telegraph office by Tyler.
Dispatched it?
Dispatched it. It was 1 and 4.
Oh, you vexing girl. Mr. Mallory will be here tonight.
Yes, and we'll bring 2 or 3 good fellows. At least we hope so.
Hope so?
Listen, Mr. Vere Quecket. We ladies are going to give a little party tonight to celebrate a serious event in the life of one of us. As we have invited only one young gentleman, your friends will be welcome.
Oh.
Without us, your party must fail, for we command the servants. Let it be a compact. Your soiree shall be our soiree, and our soiree your soiree.
And if I indignantly decline?
Consider, Mr. Quecket, your Christmas holidays are to be passed with us. Think in which direction your comfort and freedom lie, in friendship or in enmity. Even now, Ermyntrude Johnson is trimming the holly with one of your razors.
Oh, But what explanation could I give Mr. Mallory of your presence here?
Every detail has been considered. You are our bachelor uncle.
Uncle?
We are your four nieces.
I don't see why that shouldn't be rather jolly. Have you girls got any money?
No, have you?
No. Oh, that is, all mine's invested.
Tyler, fetch your cab.
Oh, quickly, she's coming. Be idle.
I'm always...
Pray, leave the cushions to Jane and summon the young ladies.
Yes, Miss Dyett.
Still in your overcoat, dear?
Of course, Carrie. I'll drive with you to Paddington.
No, no. No. I insist on going alone.
Really? Oh, Carrie, I am disappointed.
Miss Heselrigg, young ladies. I regret to say I am compelled to quit Volumnia House for a time. The length of my absence depends upon how long it runs. Upon how long it runs to it, to employ a colloquialism of the vulgar. But I depart with a light heart, because I leave my husband in authority. He will find a trusty lieutenant in Miss Heselrigg. Ladies, to abandon for the moment our mother tongue, je vous embrasse de tout mon cœur. Soyez sages.
Au revoir, Mademoiselle Diot.
Charming. Quite charming.
Via, the house agent will apply for the rent. There it is. Jane's wages are due next week. Deduct for the broken water bottle. Our fire insurance expired yesterday. Post the premium to the Eagle office at once.
The cab's awaiting, Mum.
Ah. Come, Via. You may see me to the door.
Bon voyage, Mademoiselle Diot.
Well.
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 Hush. He returns.
Oh. Ah.
Dinah, young ladies, Uncle Vere.
Uncle Vere! Uncle Vere!
Oh.
That's the holly put up. I'm sure Miss Dyett wouldn't recognise the dull old classrooms. I think it's time I dressed.
Oh.
Uncle Vere, I'm so glad you're ready early. Aren't you well?
Yes. No. I deeply regret plunging into the vortex of these festivities.
What do you think of the decorations? Artistic, aren't they?
Well, a treat at a Sunday school.
That's not the spirit to give a party in. How many do you think your friend Mr. Mallory will bring?
I don't think Mr. Mallory will find his way here at all. Have you observed the fog?
Is it foggy?
Well, you can't see your hand before you outside. I sincerely hope my friend will not come.
There's hospitality. Ours will.
Who is your friend?
Mr. Paulover.
And who the devil is Paulover? What's this, Tyler?
A beautiful large lobster salad has come, sir.
Well, Miss Heselrigg, I haven't ordered a lobster salad. You know, this is getting extremely vexing. I've already paid a bill for some oysters and a pâté de foie gras. Jane's wages went for that. Now here's a salad. There, Tyler.
Sir,
you seem to forget you're our uncle.
I am not your uncle.
Tonight you are, but you needn't be our uncle tomorrow.
Somebody will have to be my uncle tomorrow. Then I understand there's a lark pudding ordered for 9:30. I can't allow the account to be sent in to
Auntie.
Well, to Auntie. Who pays for the lark pudding?
Well, you couldn't very well ask girls to do it. Besides, it's your party.
It is not my party, and it is your lark pudding.
It may be our lark, but it's your pudding.
Excuse me, sir.
What's that?
Well, such a lot of champagne's come, sir.
Champagne? Who ordered that? I didn't.
Hush, hush. I did.
Then it is your party.
Part of the party is my party. Oh, I've broken into the rent. Here.
Sir.
The fire insurance alone remains intact. Postal orders for £3.10. I'll dispatch that at any rate.
Oh, excuse me, sir. The confectioner's just brought this.
What's that? That isn't the lark pudding.
Oh,
Lord, no, sir.
No, that's the wedding cake.
Oh, come, it isn't my wedding cake.
Don't you funny man. No, it's Mr. Paulover's.
Let's settle one thing at a time. Who is Paulover?
Dear Dinah's husband.
Dear Dinah?
Your niece, Dinah Rankling.
Married?
Secretly, to Mr. Paulover.
Oh, that's old Paulover, is it?
Young Paulover. They were married really 3 weeks ago, but without any breakfast. I don't mean a bacon breakfast, I mean a wedding breakfast. But we girls think that they ought to have a cake, and that's why you're giving this party.
Now, understand me, I will not be dragged into such a conspiracy.
But you're in it.
The Ranklings are acquaintances of mine, almost relatives. Admiral Rankling's cousin married a sister of the man who bought my brother's horses. I wash my hands of it all.
Well, don't fret about it, please. The girls will be here directly. Be nice, won't you? I'll go in and dress while you finish your letter. Oh, Jane, what lovely tarts.
Oh, excuse me, sir. You'll have to move so these can go on the table.
Oh, they won't let me write to the insurance office. No, I must.
The pastry cook's bill, sir.
Oh, great Scott. There.
Thank you.
Oh, now, that's the insurance office written to. My mind's easy. Done my duty to poor Caroline. Must remember to post it.
Miss Gwendolyn Hawkins.
Oh, I'm first. I shall come back again.
Come in. How do you do? Extremely pleased to see you. So glad you've come. Won't you sit down?
Miss Hermanson Johnson and Mrs. Reginald Paulover.
This is a little too vexing. How do you do? So glad you've come. Won't you sit down?
We're very well, thank you. Awfully well.
Instructions in polite conversation. How is Paulover?
I think he's very well, thank you.
Mm. I suppose you young ladies distinctly understand that I occupy a painfully false position this evening.
I'm sure it is very, very kind of you to give this party. Peggy says you insist on our calling you uncle.
Does she? Peggy is the one I've turned against.
We think you'll be an awfully jolly uncle.
Miss Margaret Esselrig.
How do you do?
How do you do? Delighted to see you. Oh, for goodness sake, sit down. Well, now, what's afoot? What are you doing at the window?
I can just see him under his lamppost.
The fog will hurt him.
Oh, hush. I told him we'd whistle twice. Girls, it's ominous. My whistle has left me. Come and whistle, Uncle Veer.
No, no.
Now, you wouldn't disappoint your nieces. Do come and whistle.
Shan't.
Uncle Veer!
Oh, very well.
He's heard it. He's coming.
I must go and meet him.
Now, Uncle Veer, you'll see Mr. Paulover. Oh, I do hope he'll take to you.
Well, really, I'm not that interested whether he...
These are my three dear friends. Miss Hawkins, Miss Johnson.
Awfully pleased to meet you.
And Miss Heselrig.
Thank you very much for being so kind to my wife.
I could do no less for a friend.
No whiskers or moustache. No.
I was jolly glad to hear my wife's dear little whistle. I should know it from 1,000.
Dinah, dear, make Mr. Paulover and Mr. Quackett known to each other.
Reggie, dear, this is Mr. Quackett.
Dinah, what is a man doing here? You know I can't bear you to talk to a man.
Oh, Reggie, why are you always so jealous?
Mr. Quackett is giving the party.
What party?
Your wedding party.
Is he? I'm much obliged to Mr. Quackett.
Mr. Quackett is so nice, he calls himself Dinah's uncle.
Does he? Well, then it's a liberty, that's all I can say.
I'm afraid you're a cup, sir.
What?
Oh, Reggie, don't.
Your friend.
Whose friend? My friend. Another man, I suppose. Dinah.
Ladies, do take Mr. Paulover next door and explain everything to him.
Oh, Reggie.
What is going on?
I'm so sorry. He hasn't taken to you.
He needn't trouble himself. Upon my soul, this is going to be a nice party.
Three gentlemen, sir. I was to say the name of Mallory.
Three gentlemen?
No, he's brought some good fellows. That's one for Ermyntrude and one for me and one for Gwen.
Be quiet.
Cricket.
Yes, Jack. Jack Mallory.
Well, I am glad to see you.
How are you, Jack?
The quaint diggings you have up here. Oh, I beg your pardon.
Oh, yes. I didn't mention it. I have my nieces spending Christmas with me.
Delighted. Did you say niece or nieces?
Nieces. How many, I forget?
Three.
Three.
Three not counting me.
Three not counting me. I mean three not counting that vexing girl. Peggy. Margaret.
It would be impossible not to count, Miss Margaret.
Oh.
Oh, really?
I shall give Gwendolyn and Ermyntrude the two that are downstairs.
You're not alone, are you, Jack?
No, they're coming up.
Are they?
The old gentleman takes his time with the stairs.
Old gentleman?
The fact is, there's been a big Navy dinner tonight at the Whitehall Rooms. The enthusiasm became rather forced. Britannia rules the waves and all that sort of thing. So, I gladly thought of finishing up with you. I brought my nephew. Oh, hello, here he is. My nephew, Horatio Nelson Drake Saunders, of the training ship Dextrous.
How do you do? Awfully pleased to come here.
Glad to see you, Mr. Saunders.
Oh, and we persuaded an old acquaintance of yours to join us, Admiral Rankling.
What?
What?
Do you mind?
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 Peggy, do warn her, inform the girls of our guest's arrival.
With all haste.
Saunders!
Here, sir.
Mr. Craigie, how do you do? I've been away, you know.
I am delighted to renew our acquaintance, Admiral Rankling.
Valerie suggested we should smoke our last cigar at your lodging. I can't stay long, but I have a considerable distance to drive home. At least I suppose I have. I really don't know quite where we are. It's a cold night. Do you mind if I warm the stove?
Not in the least, sir. Take a turn by the fire. He doesn't know where he is.
The fog's as thick as a board outside.
He isn't aware. He lives 150 yards off.
No, does he?
No, hush, Jack, don't tell him. I'll explain why by and by. Do sit down, everybody.
Thank you, thank you. Oh,
this fire is making me quite drowsy.
Oh, what a party. What? Oh, it's that vexing girl. Yes.
Who'd have thought of this, eh?
It might be worse. He doesn't recognise the house he is in. Get rid of his daughter and that horrid pawnover.
Certainly not. I know he won't recognise his daughter.
Won't recognise his own daughter? You'll drive me mad.
Mallory, I don't like the look of poor Cricket.
He seems altered.
Altered? Glares like the devil. He's not married, is he?
No.
Then what does he mean by it?
The fact is, poor old Quickett has some nieces staying with him.
Nieces?
Four of them. Yes. I've only seen that one, and I fancy by the look of her mischievous little face that they're too much for him.
Uncle, leave everything to me, and don't spoil the party.
Dash the party.
Quickett, is that one of your nieces?
Nieces?
Mm-hmm.
Nieces? Mm. Oh, they retire at 8 o'clock. Early to bed, early to rise.
Oh, well, this doesn't look like early to bed.
Just got up, I suppose. Gwendolyn, Ermyntrude, my dears. Admiral Rankling, Mr. Mallory, Mr. Saunders is asleep.
How do you do?
We're quite well, thank you.
And whose daughters are you?
We're
these are my sister Isabel's girls.
All your sister Isabel's children were boys.
Were boys, yes.
Are boys,
Are men now. No, I should have said these are my sister Janet's children.
No, well, I've never heard of your sister Janet.
No. Quiet, retiring woman, Janet.
Well, then, whom did Janet marry?
Whom didn't Janet marry? No, I mean, whom did Janet? Why, Finch Griffin of the Berkshire Royals.
Yeah, me. We're going to meet Major Griffin and his wife on Christmas Day at the Trotwells.
Are you? Go away, girls. Oh, this is Margaret, Peggy.
Oh, another Mrs. Griffin's?
Yes, yes.
A large family?
Rapid, 2 a year.
We've met before today.
Where?
At a miserable school near my house in Portland Place.
Oh, yes. Our holidays began this afternoon.
Why, Cricket, my daughter Dinah and Miss Griffin are schoolfellows.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, sir.
How small the world is.
Mr. Mallory says you have four nieces.
Ah.
Oh, yes, there is one more. Mrs. Parkinson is here with her husband.
My brother Tankerville's eldest girl.
Well, I never heard of your brother Tankerville.
No? He's Deputy Inspector of Prisons in British Guiana. A quite retiring chap.
I'll go and fetch them.
To make a clean breast of it, the girls have been preparing a little festival tonight in honour of Mr. and Mrs. The name Peggy mentioned. My niece was married very quietly some weeks ago to a charming young fellow, and these foolish children insist on cutting a wedding cake and all that sort of nonsense. I didn't want to disturb you with their chatter.
You forget, Cricket, you're speaking to a father.
No, I don't, indeed.
My cousin and Mr. Parkinson.
How do you... What an extraordinary likeness to my brother Ned. Oh. And how do you do...
Thank you. I'm very well.
Do you know, your voice is exceedingly like my, sister Rachel.
I'm sorry to differ. I think my wife resembles no one but herself.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Pray don't.
That's not a charming young fellow.
Sir?
Mrs. Parkinson, Mr. Mallory.
I am delighted to have the opportunity of congratulating my old friend's niece upon her recent marriage. Oh. I think myself especially fortunate in being present on such...
How do you do, sir?
Mr. Mallory, Mr. Parkinson.
Sir?
Sir? Is that a charming young fellow?
Oh, what a party.
The pudding's in the kitchen, sir, waiting to be paid.
I'll come to it. Margaret, show Admiral Rankling and Mr. Mallory where the cigarettes are. They may like it. Years are going off my life.
May I take you to the cigarettes?
You may take me anywhere.
The cigarettes are in the next room, Admiral Rankling.
That fellow's wife has a look of Emma's sister Susan. Mrs. Parkinson.
Come away, Dinah.
Oh, Richie, dear Richie. People are not present.
Ermitude, my dear, I'm quite glad to see somebody who isn't like any of my relations. May I escort you to the next room?
Thank you, Admiral Rankling. I'm just coming. Well, considering that Mr. Saunders was introduced to us asleep, I don't think Gwendolyn's behaviour is at all comme il faut. She is allowing his head to rest on her shoulder.
Well, this way. This way, my dear.
I've been dreaming about my ma. I don't know you, do I?
It doesn't matter, Mr. Saunders. You've had such a good sleep. Let me kiss your forehead.
That's just like my ma kisses me. Where are the others?
Well, I'll take you to them.
Thank you. What's your name?
Gwendolyn.
Gwen's short for that, isn't it?
Yes.
Permit me, Gwen.
Saunders.
I can't help it. I am in the hands of fate. Arrange the table, Jane. I cannot help it.
Yes, sir.
Supper time. What's the matter, Uncle Vere?
Well, in the first place, there are no oysters.
I've seen them.
I've gone further. I've tasted them.
Bad.
Well, I should describe them as inland oysters. A long time since they had a fortnight at the seaside.
Oh, dear. Then we must fall back on the lark pudding.
You'll injure yourself seriously if you do.
Tell me everything. It has not come small.
It has come ridiculously small.
It was ordered for 8 persons.
Then it is architecturally disproportionate.
Oh, something must be done. The girls must be warned. For goodness sake, don't taste the pudding. Poor girls, what an end to a happy day.
Oh, if the members of my family could see me at this moment. I, whose suppers in the Albany were at one time a proverb.
Quick, please, quick. Give them these notes.
What for?
Oh, don't ask. You will see the result.
But you mustn't write to people. You
go don't... away!
Oh, don't be upset, miss.
No, I won't. I won't. But I am only a girl, and the responsibility is very great for such young shoulders. Did you give the girls the notes?
No.
Oh, never mind. I'll whisper to them now.
Well, I didn't understand they were for the girls.
Mallory, we were right. There is some horrible mystery about cricket. I've had an anonymous warning. For heaven's sake, don't touch the pudding.
I know.
There is a spontaneity about our jolly little supper, which will perhaps... atone for any absence of elaboration. The language of the heart is simplicity. Our little supper is from the heart. Ah, Tyler.
The lark pudding.
The lark pudding.
Here is a homely little dish, which has fascinations for many, though I never touch it myself. A pudding made of larks. A pudding... made of larks. My dear, a very little?
No, thank you, Uncle.
Perhaps you're right. Gwendolyn, a suggestion?
No, thank you, Uncle.
Margaret, I know what your digestion is. I won't tempt you. Ermentrude, the least in the world?
No, thank you, Uncle.
Oh, how lucky.
Brave girls. I was afraid they'd falter.
Now then, Admiral Rankling.
No, thank you.
My dear Mr. Saunders.
No, Mr. Quickett, thank you.
Jack, a little lark.
No, thanks, old fellow.
Well, I take it away.
Yes, sir.
Keep it warm, Jane.
Jack, a lobster salad and a small pâté de foie gras at your end of the table.
May I assist anyone?
No, thank you.
Poor girls, what sacrifices they make for these men.
May I?
No, thank you.
What a supper party. Tyler.
Sir?
The champagne. Please. Please. Silence for Admiral Rankling.
My dear Mr. Cricket, it would ill become an old man, himself the father of a daughter, to lose an opportunity of saying a few words on the pleasant, the extremely pleasant condition of the British naval force. Pardon me, I have been speaking on other subjects tonight. I should say the extremely pleasant occasion which brings us together.
Certainly, my dear Rankling, how nice of you.
Not only am I the commander... the father of a ship, of a daughter, whom it is my ambition to see happily wedded to the man of her choice.
Hear, hear!
But I'm also the husband of a heavily plated cruiser, of a dear lady to whose affection and society I owe the greatest happiness of my life. Yep. I have the regret of knowing that my acquaintance with Mrs. Parkinson. Parkinson, has begun only tonight. I have also the pleasure of inaugurating a friendship with that delightful young lady, which on my side shall be little less than paternal eyes.
Oh, gracious, sit down.
I will not sit down without adding a word of congratulation to Mr.
Parkinson.
Thank you. I ask you all to drink to the Navy. To Mr. and Mrs. Jenkinson.
Mr. and Mrs. Parkinson.
Admiral Rankling. Not now, Jane. Go away. I beg pardon. All I have to say is that the highest estimate Admiral Rankling can form of me will not do justice to my devotion to my wife.
Oh, beautiful.
And I should like to know the individual, old or young, who would take my wife from me. In conclusion, as for Admiral Rankling's offer of a paternal friendship, I trust he will remember that offer if ever we should have occasion to remind him of it. And now, I regret to say...
No, not before we have danced one quadrille.
Oh, yes, a quadrille.
Uncle Veer will play for us.
No, Uncle Veer will not.
Oh, yes, you will, Cricket, old fellow. Eh?
Well, I... With pleasure, Jack. How dare they...
Clear the floor.
Please, Richie, please. Oh,
a wife shouldn't dance with her husband. It is horrible form.
I can't see you led out by a stranger.
It is merely a quadrille.
Merely a quadrille? Woman, do you think I am marble?
Oh, Admiral Rankling, are you going to dance?
If you do me the honor, my dear madam.
Flirt. Peggy, get rid of them soon, or I shall become a gibbering idiot.
Now then, Quackie, to the piano man. Will you make me happy, dear Miss Peggy?
Thank you, Mr. Mallory. I never dance. But I don't mind this once.
I wash my hands of the entire party.
Oh, Mr. Quackie.
What is it?
Oh, sir, do come downstairs. As far down as you can get.
What do you mean?
That boy Tyler, sir.
Tyler, well?
He went off bang in the kitchen, sir, about 10 minutes ago. Them fireworks.
Fireworks? Where is he?
Gone for the engine, sir.
What's that?
What's wrong?
Oh, look there.
Oh, there's such a crowd at our house.
Listen to me, please.
What's the matter?
Don't be alarmed. Look at me. Imitate my self-possession.
What is the matter?
The matter? The weather is so unfavorable that the boy Tyler has been compelled to display fireworks on the premises.
Oh! What has happened?
Pray don't be disturbed. There is not the slightest occasion for alarm. We have now the choice of one alternative.
What?
To get out without unnecessary delay.
Oh! Ladies, fetch your cloaks and wraps preparatory to breaking up our pleasant little party. Good God, what's that?
I think the fire brigade has arrived.
Well, for goodness sake, open the window and let him in.
Much obliged. Good evening, gentlemen.
Can you tell me where I'll find the ladies?
They're putting on their hats and cloaks.
A wise precaution. Are you coming up, Mr. Goff?
Yes, Mr. Jeffrey.
Oh, gentlemen, this is Mr. Goff, one of the most respected members of the brigade. Mr. Goff tells some most interesting stories, gentlemen.
Confound it, sir. You're not going to relate anecdotes now.
Oh, excuse me, sir. Mr. Goff's reminiscences are well worth hearing whilst you wait.
Wait for what? I tell you, I don't care about his stories. Ladies! Ladies! Make haste!
We're ready! Take us away!
I must really ask you, ladies and gentlemen, to take it quietly for a few minutes.
Take it quietly?
What for?
Well, you see, the ladder is occupied by Mr. Goff and myself, and the staircase isn't quite the thing at the moment, as it's on fire. So I shall have to ask the ladies and gentlemen to use the escape.
The escape?
Where is it?
It'll be here in 2 minutes. In the meantime, I think Mr. Goff could while away the time very pleasantly with a reminiscence or two. Ladies, Mr. Goff.
Oh, take us away! Take us away!
Now, I recall...
Be quiet, sir! We will not be entertained!
Really, gentlemen, I must say I have never heard Mr. Goff treated so hasty at any conflagration. Oh! The escape, ladies and gentlemen, has arrived. One at a time, through the window.
That's right. Come on.
Jack.
Hello?
I'm going back to save some valuables. Directly you get done, post that letter. Oh, Jack, it's so important.
To the Eagle Fire Insurance Company.
Quite so. Slip my memory.
I'll post it. Come quickly now. Have a care.
It's all right, gentlemen. There's a kind lady down below who is taking everybody into her house for the night. Mrs. Ranklin of Portland Place, card read.
Oh, Mrs. Ranklin, that's my wife.
Is she, sir? Ooh, glad to hear it. Then they are all your visitors till tomorrow.
Confound it, sir. Where do I live?
Just at the corner here, sir. 100 yards off.
Then where am I now?
Miss Dyett's boarding school, sir. Bologna College.
What? Cricket? I've a few words.
Oh, no time for that, sir. Down you come.
Oh, here's the lady of the house. Rode up on an engine from Piccadilly and dressed for all to see like Boadicea herself.
A lady? What lady?
Say she's coming up the ladder.
Caroline?
Via? Here!
Where have I got to now, I wonder? What a dreadful wilderness of a house to wander about in the dark, all alone. 6:30. Why, gracious, here's a spark of fire. Oh, joy! Perhaps I can encourage it. What room is this? Gwendolyn!
I can't sleep.
Can you? Sleep? No. As if I could sleep in a strange bed in a strange house in one of Admiral Ranklin's nightgowns.
Oh, look. I wonder where I am now.
Ermyntrude!
Be quiet.
It's us. It's her and me. Oh, my grammar's going now.
Can't you get to sleep?
I should think not. I've made up the fire. Let us bivouac here till daybreak.
Oh, Peggy, do you know what has become of poor Dinah?
Yes. Admiral Ranklin has locked her upstairs till the morning.
Oh, it's a shame.
Now go to sleep. Oh, what a scene there was. Admiral Ranklin foamed at the mouth. It was lucky they got Mr. Quackett away from him in time.
Where's Mr. Quackett?
Mr. Quackett is locked up too, isn't he?
Of course he is.
Till the morning. Miss Dyett locked him up. Very properly, I think.
And where's Miss Dyett?
Upstairs in the room next to mine. In hysterics.
Mm. Hush. I do believe Gwendolyn's asleep.
Are you pretty comfortable?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, good. Good.
Can't sleep in my room.
Why, here's my Gwen. Wonder if she'd mind my sitting near her. Now, if any burglars wanted to hurt Gwen, I could kill them.
Oh. Can't get a blessed wink of sleep. Where have I wandered to? Hello. Here's one of those schoolgirls. Well, this nephew of mine is a devil of a fellow. That isn't a glimmer of fire, surely? Oh, more girls.
What's that?
What is it?
Hush, don't be frightened. It's only I.
Mr. Mallory.
Can't sleep. I'm aware that you young ladies have brought very grave difficulties upon my poor unfortunate friend, Quackett.
Well, he encouraged us. He's a man.
Now, pray don't cry, my dear miss. What is your name this morning?
Heselrig, and I wish I'd never been born.
Heselrig, and you wish you'd never been born. Well, Miss Heselrig, the serious aspect of the affair is that Admiral Ranklin has a most violent, ungovernable temper, and therefore I'm apprehensive for poor Mr. Quackett's bodily safety. Meanwhile, I won't disturb you any longer. Come along, Saunders.
Where are you going?
To the front door, to speak a word or two of encouragement to that young fellow, Paulover.
Oh, is he outside still? In the snow?
Why, he's been walking up and down on the other side of the way all night.
Oh. And you haven't let him in?
Well, how could I? You forget that our host has forbidden him the house.
No, I don't. Girls, shall we open the front door? Or shall we remain the mere slaves of etiquette?
I should like to let him in.
Certainly. Why not?
Come along, ladies. I know the way.
Well, Miss Heselrig, you'll perhaps pardon my saying that you're a devil-may-care little schoolgirl.
You make a great mistake. I am not a schoolgirl. I'm struggling to be a governess.
Ah. I say, what are you doing with that spirit stand?
Brewing poor Mr. Paulover something hot. Light this lamp for me, please. If you can recommend me at any time to a lady with young daughters, I shall be grateful.
I will. I will.
I think I'm almost capable of finishing any young lady now.
I'm sure you are. I say, you'll get into an awful scrape over your share in last night's business, won't you? Do you think Miss Dyett or Mrs. Quackett or whatever she is will send you home?
She can't. She's got me forever. She took me years ago for a bad debt.
Oh, what a jolly little sailor's wife you'd make, brewing grog like this.
I hope I should do my duty in any station of life to which I might be called.
I'm a sailor, you know.
No. Are you?
You know I am.
Oh! He's frostbitten.
Poor old Paulover.
I saw him by degrees. I'm giving this to drink.
He's annoyed with Admiral Ranklin. I
think it's a good job his language is frozen.
Where's my wife, Dinah?
She's quite safe.
You must see her. Speak to her.
Well, you can't. She's locked up.
Must push her long letter under her door. Some writing materials, please.
There's the writing table.
Oh. Note paper and envelopes. Where's it? Oh.
What's the letter?
Duplicate keys of all the rooms in the house. Girls, why should we not release Dinah immediately?
Oh, yes.
Oh, Miss Heselrig, my father-in-law is entertaining an angel unawares. Oh, stop. I don't think we're quite justified. I told you he was merely a bachelor. Give me the keys.
No. I take the responsibility of this. I am a girl. Oh. I hope you will repent your line of conduct, gentlemen.
I think we all shall. What's that? Dare you look, Ermyntrude? It came from outside the far door.
Admiral Ranklin!
Oh.
He's coming in here!
Oh. Confound that! Oh.
There's another door here. Oh, and a little room. Shall we condescend to hide?
Yes!
Hello! Someone has been sitting up. It's against the rules for anybody to sit up in my house. How long am I to wait till that miserable schoolmistress releases the worm? Quack it, Uncle Lear. But I must husband my strength. I've been a very careful man all my life so far as muscular economy goes. Quackett shall have the savings of a lifetime. Oh, I was a wild, impetuous, daring lad once. And I can be unpleasant even now. I can. The Admiral doesn't know it. Emma doesn't know it. But Quackett shall know it. Oh.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
It's all right, Peggy. He's dropped off. Where is Mrs. Paulover?
She's not on that side of the house.
I've a plan for disposing of the old gentleman. Try the other side.
I'm going to. But, oh, Mr. Mallory, what do you think I've done?
That's impossible to conjecture.
I've made a mistake about the doors, and I have unlocked Mr. Cricket. Oh!
I love that girl. Where is my wife? I cannot live longer without her. Where is Dinah? Hush, she'll be here in a minute. Come out of there and lend me a hand. We'll put him in the little room. This is heavy work. How short does it you lift? That is fall over the middle. Now, gently. Lift.
All's lost if they bump him.
Well, we can all feel safe now. Turn the key, Saunders.
Dinah! Reggie!
My wife.
Oh, Peggy.
Mrs. Catching. Aww. Oh, Mr. Saunders.
Gwenny.
Aww. It's an epidemic.
It's contagious.
What's that? It's Uncle Veer got loose. He's fallen downstairs.
Oh, bother. Come along, Dinah.
Quickly, ladies. Let's not encounter Uncle Veer.
Well, Mr. Mallory, rather bad taste of your nephew and those girls to run after a newly married couple, isn't it?
Yes, we won't do it.
No, but we don't want to be bothered with your old friend Cricket, do we?
No, he's an awful bore. Is the conservatory heated?
I don't mind if it isn't.
Oh, Miss Heselrig.
Oh, to whom am I indebted for being let out? Oh, what a night I've passed. Good gracious. I'm actually in the room in which Rankling announced his intention of ultimately dislocating my vertebrae. 7. It'll be wise to remain here for the first gleam of daylight and then leave the house unostentatiously. I will exchange no explanations with Caroline. I shall simply lay the whole circumstances of my injudicious boyish marriage before my brother Bob and the other members of my family. Any allowance which Caroline may make me shall come through them. The deuce, what's that? Somebody's knocked something over. I shan't wait till daybreak if they're breaking things. Oh, people sitting on the stairs. Is this a plot to surround me? The conservatory. Two persons under a palm tree. Oh! Where does that door lead to? A dark room. Oh, I'm so thankful.
Now I have broken a bust. It is an embarrassing thing to break a statue in the house of comparative strangers. I have been listening at the keyhole of Veer's room. Not a sound. He can sleep with the ruin of Volumnia College upon his conscience while I...
Mrs. Cricket! Instructions were given that everybody should be called at 8. I had arranged that a dress more appropriate than your theatrical costume should be placed at your disposal...
Oh, what has happened? I heard something fall.
I knocked over the pedestal, Mrs. Rankling.
Oh, the bust of myself by belt. I saw him working on it. Oh, Mrs. Quackett, is there no end to the trouble you have brought upon us?
The trouble you have brought upon me?
What? Why didn't you tell us you had a husband?
Why didn't you tell me that Dinah had a husband?
Oh, we didn't know it.
Well, if you didn't know your own daughter was married, how can you wonder at your ignorance of other people's domestic complications?
Oh, but that's not all. You have informed us that you are now actually contributing to a nightly entertainment of a volatile description, that you are positively being laughed at in public.
Isn't it better to be laughed at in public and paid for it than to be sniggered at privately for nothing?
Oh, Mrs. Cricket, you are revealing your true character.
It is the same as your own, an undervalued wife. Oh. Let me open your eyes as mine are opened. Now, looking at him microscopically, is there much to love and to honour in Admiral Rankling?
He is a genial after-dinner speaker.
It is true he is rather austere.
An austere sailor, all bows abroad and stern at home.
Well then, knowing what occurred last night... Is there anything to love and to honour in Mr. Quackett?
Nothing whatever.
And yet he is undoubtedly the superior of Admiral Rankling. Very well, then. Do as I mean to do. Put your foot down. If heaven has gifted you with a large one, so much the better.
Oh.
Vera! The Admiral has released your husband.
I'll trouble you, sir.
Come away and I will advise you.
No.
Oh, bring your head with you.
Oh. Forget about...
Rankling, I...
How about...
I shall mark my opinion of your behaviour through the post.
Sit down.
Thank you, I've been sitting. I sat on you on the sofa. That's what woke you up.
Sit down. As an old friend of your family, Mr. Crackett, I'm going to have a quiet chat with you on the family matters. How is your sister Janet? Quite well, eh? Tell me, without a moment's delay, sir, how is Janet?
Permit me to say, Admirable Rankin.
And Griffin, is Griffin quite well? Finch Griffin of the Berkshire Royals?
I do not know how Major Griffin is, and I feel I do not care.
Oh, you don't very well, then. How often do you hear from your brother Tankerville?
No!
He's Deputy Inspector of Prisons in British Guiana, you know. Doesn't have time to write often, does he?
You have recalled memories. Excuse me.
No, sir, I will not excuse you. Because, Mr. Crackett, I have your assurance as a gentleman that your brother Tankerville's daughter is married to a charming young fella of the name of Parkinson. Now I've discovered that Parkinson is really a charming young fella of the name of Paulover. So that, as Paulover has married my daughter as well as Tankerville's, Paulover must be prosecuted for bigamy. And as you knew that Paulover was Parkinson, and Parkinson Paulover, you connived at the crime. Inasmuch as knowing Paulover was Tankerville's daughter's husband, you deliberately aided Parkinson in making my child Dinah his wife. But that's not the worst of it.
Oh.
Because I have since received your gentlemanly assurance that Tankerville's daughter is my daughter. Now, either you mean to say that I behave like a blackguard to Tankerville, which is a libel, or that Tankerville has conducted himself with less than common fairness to me, which will be a divorce. And in either case, without wishing to anticipate the law, I shall personally chastise you because, although I've been a sailor on the high seas for 45 years, I have never, during the whole of that period, listened to such a yarn of mendacious fabrications as you spun me last night. Lies, lies, lies. Very well. Sir.
One moment, Rankling. One moment, if not two. I deem that you are prepared to assault.
To chastise?
Too well to inconvenience a man at whose table you feasted last night. Do so.
I will do so.
I say do so. But the triumph when you kneel upon my body, for I am bound to tell you that I shall lie down, the triumph will be mine.
You are welcome to it, sir. Put down that umbrella.
What for?
I haven't an umbrella.
You haven't? Allow me to leave this room, my dear Rankling, and I'll beg your acceptance of this one.
Vera!
Caroline!
Stop, Admiral Rankling, if you please. Any reprimand, physical or otherwise, will be administered to Mr. Quackett at my hands.
I would have preferred Rankling. Rankling, I could have winded. Excuse me. The urgent appointment.
Vera!
Come back here, you jelly-legged swabber!
Archibald!
Come on! Go back to me. Get out of my way.
Archibald Rankling, attend to me. Don't roll your eyes, but attend to me.
Emma, your tone is dictatorial.
It is meant to be so, because after 17 years of married life, I am going to speak my mind at last. Archibald, look at my bust.
I beg pardon.
This bust, myself, less than 10 years ago, the sculptor's earliest effort.
Broken. Made of bad stuff. Send it back.
It is your memory I wish to send back. Oh, Archibald, do you see how round and plump those cheeks are?
People alter.
Understand me finally, Archibald. I will not be ground down any longer. Unless some arrangement is arrived at for the happiness of dear Dinah and Mr. Paulover, I leave you.
Leave me.
This very day.
Wantonly desert your home and husband, Emma.
Yes.
And I don't know where to put my hand upon even a necktie.
All the world shall learn how highly you thought of Dinah's marriage at Mr. Quackett's party last night.
Oh.
And what a very different man you have always been in your own home. And take care, Archibald, that the verdict of posterity is not that you were less a husband and father than a tyrant and oppressor.
Emma, Emma.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Emma, Emma, there have been grave faults on both sides. Yours, I will endeavor to overlook.
Oh, now you are your dear old self again. And poor Dinah, you will forgive her?
On condition that she doesn't see Paulover's face again for 5 years.
Oh, there will be no difficulty about that. Here they are.
Papa!
My father-in-law.
Who let you out? Who let you in?
Come back here!
Archibald! Continue your dear old self.
I understand that you wish to speak to me, Caroline.
Oh, you paltry little man. You mean, ungrateful little creature. You laced-up heap of pompous pauperism. You... I cannot adequately describe you. Wretch!
Have you finished with me, Caroline?
Finished with you? I shall never have finished with you. Never till you leave me.
Till I leave you?
Till you leave me a widow.
Oh.
You don't think I expect you to leave me anything else? Oh, what could I have seen in you?
Well, I take it, Caroline, that in the language of the hunting field, you scented a gentleman.
Scented a gentleman? In the few weeks of our marriage, I have scented you and cigaretted you, wined you and liqueured you, tailored and hatted and booted you. I have darned and mended and washed you, gruelled you with a cold, tinctured you with a toothache, and linamented you with a gout. Have I not? Have I not?
You certainly have had exceptional privileges. Familiarity appears to have fulfilled its usual functions and bred...
And bred the most utter contempt. And all for what?
Well, I assume for love's dear sake, Carrie.
For the sake of having the vestal seclusion of Volumnia College telegraphically denominated as Bachelor Diggings. As for the subsequent conflagration...
I say with all sincerity that from the moment the fire broke out till I escaped, no one regretted it more than myself. That was Tyler.
Tyler? What Tyler? I make no historical reference when I say, what Tyler was it who abruptly tore aside the veil of mystery which had hitherto shrouded the existence of champagne and lobster salad from four young girls? It was you.
No, it wasn't, Carrie. Upon my word.
Bah!
Upon my honour. Those vexing pupils played the very devil with me. After you left, the pupils, as it were, dilated.
Yes, and you ordered them champagne glasses, I suppose. Oh, deceiver.
You talk of deception. What about the 3 o'clock train from Paddington?
It was the whole truth. There was one.
But you didn't travel in it. What about the clergyman's wife at Hereford?
Go there. You will find a several.
But you're not staying with them. Oh, Carrie, how can you meet my fearless glance when you recall that my last words yesterday were, cabman, drive to Paddington, the lady will pay your fare.
I cannot deny that it is by accident you have discovered that I am Queen Honorine in Otto Bernstein's successful comic opera.
And what do you think my family would think of that?
It is true that the public now know me as Miss Constance Delaporte.
Oh, Miss Constance Delaporte!
The new and startling contralto.
Oh.
It is true, too, that last night, while you and my pupils were dilating, I was singing. Aye, and at one important juncture, dancing.
No, no, not dancing.
Madly, desperately, hysterically dancing.
And to think, if there was any free ticket, that my brother Bob may have been there.
But do you guess the one thought that prompted me, buoyed me up, guided my steps, and ultimately produced a lower G of ultimate power?
No.
The thought that every note I sang might bring a banknote to my lonely Vera at home.
Carrie!
I went through the performance in a dream. The conductor's baton beat nothing but Vera, Vera, Vera into my brain. Someone applauded me. I thought, oh, that's worth a new hat to Vera. I sang my political verse. A man very properly hissed. He smashed Vera's new hat, I murmured. At last came my important solo. I drew a long breath, saw a vision of you reading an old copy of The Rock by the fireside at home, and opened my mouth. I remember nothing more till I found myself wildly dancing to the refrain of my song. The audience yelled with approbation. I bowed again and again, and then tottered away to sink into the arms of the prompter with the words, Vera, catch your carry.
But my family, my brother Bob.
What have they ever done for you? While I... It was my ambition to devote every penny of my salary to your little wants.
And isn't it still?
No, Vere Albany Butte, quick it. It isn't.
Oh.
the moment I dragged you down that ladder last night and left behind me the smouldering ruins of Valumnia College. I became an altered woman.
Then I will lay the whole affair before my family.
Do, and tell them to what your selfishness has brought you. That where there was love, there is disdain. Where there were cigars, there will be pipes. Where there was claret, there will be beer.
Oh, why didn't I wait and marry a lady?
You did marry a lady. But scratch the lady and you find a hard-working comic actress.
Oh, be silent, madam.
This is my revenge, Vere Quackett. Tonight, I will dance more wildly, more demonstratively than ever.
I forbid it.
You forbid it? You dictate to Constance Delaporte, the hit of the opera? I am Queen Honorine.
Rhine, Rhine, Honor Rhine, mighty weather wife for queen, firmer ruler never seen than Rhine, Rhine la, Rhine,
I will write to my married sisters.
La.
Do, and I will call upon them.
Man's a boasting, fretting fumer, smoking, alcohol consumer, quick of temper, ill of humor.
Oh,
la, la,
you
la,
shall
la,
sing
la,
this
la,
to my family.
La. Refrain. Rhine, Rhine, Honor Rhine, mighty weather wife or queen. Former ruler never seen than Rhine, Rhine la, Rhine, Rhine la, Rhine, Rhine la.
Oh!
My dear Mrs. Quackett, I owe everything to you. My treatment of the dear Admiral has had wonderful results. What do you think? The Admiral and Mr. Paulover are quite reconciled and understand each other perfectly. Oh, look, the Admiral already regards him as his own child.
Oh, we are to be separated for 5 years. Oh, Reggie, you trust me implicitly, don't you?
I do. And that is why I warn you never to let me hear of you addressing another man.
Oh, Reggie.
Oh, stop that billing and cooing at once. You don't see me behaving in that way to Mrs. Rankling. We've been married for years.
But all that's going to change, Archibald. And you, Dinah, and Mr. Paulover are to be allowed to meet once every quarter.
Yes, in the presence of Admiral Rankling and a policeman.
I beg your pardon. I must see Miss Constance Delaporte. I mean Miss Dios.
Mr. Bernstein.
Your house is burned down. It does not matter. You have made a great hit in my new oratorio. I mean my comic opera. The Times, the Telegraph, the Daily News, the Standard. They're all complimentary except one. And that I gave to the cabman.
Miss Delaporte, a decided acquisition.
Go on, go on.
Miss Delaporte, an imposing figure. What do they know about it?
You will get £50 a week in my next oratorio. I mean, my comic opera.
£50 a week? My Carrie, I should be able to snap my fingers at my damn family.
Goodbye. I cannot stay. I am going to have a Turkish bath till the evening papers come out. I always say I do not read the evening papers, but I do.
Mrs. Quackett, I shall book stalls at once to hear your singing.
No, Emma, dress circle.
Stalls, Archibald.
Dress circle.
Stalls, Archibald, or I leave you forever.
Very well, Emma. I have no desire but to please you.
I take this as a great compliment, my dear Rankling. Carrie and I thank you, but I can't hear of it. I insist on offering you both a seat in my box.
A your box?
Hush, Carrie, my darling. Your Vere's private box.
Mr. Quackett's private box during my absence at night will be our lodgings, where he will remain under lock and key.
Oh, Peggy, you vexing girl.
Excuse me, my dear Quackett, but while looking at the plants in the conservatory, I became engaged to Miss Heselrig.
And I to Gwenny.
Oh, if you please, ma'am, Tyler.
Tyler?
Tyler wants to know who is to pay him the reward for being the first to fetch the fire engines last night.
I will.
No, I will. Tyler has rendered me a signal service. He has demolished Valumnia College. From the ashes of that establishment rises the phoenix of my new career. Miss Dyot is extinct. Miss Delaporte is alive. And during the evening, kicking. I hope none will regret the change. I shall not for one, while the generous public allow me to remain a favourite.
Rhine, Rhine, on a Rhine, might you have a wife or queen? Come a ruler never seen than Rhine, Rhine love, Rhine, Rhine love.
Mr. Malcolm McKee presents his compliments and would like to be paid.
Who the devil's he?
Mr. McKee is a composer and musical director.
Oh, very well. Good gracious, 30 shillings?
Was cheap at the price, I'd say, sir.
Would you? Oh, very well.
And the company, sir. I have prepared a cast list. Shall I read it? Miss Dyot, Miss Hannah Gordon. The Honourable Vere Queckett, Mr. Gary Bond. Rear Admiral Ranklin, Mr. Dinsdale Landon. Peggy Heselrig, Miss Samantha Bond. Reginald Paulover, Mr. Jeremy Northam. Mrs. Rankling, Miss Anne Windsor. Dinah Rankling, Miss Elizabeth Mansfield. John Mallory, Mr. Terence Edmund. Ermintrude Johnson, Miss Teresa Gallagher. Gwendolyn Hawkins, Miss Rachel Fielding. Jane Chipman, Mrs. Anne Beach. Mr. Saunders, Master Matthew Sim, Otto Bernstein and Goff, Mr. Norman Jones, Jaffrey, Mr. Brian Miller, and Tyler, Mr. Mark Straker. It was adapted and directed by Sue Wilson. Good value, sir. They gave good value.
This rate, we won't be able to afford to put on a play on the 29th.
Oh, we will, sir. It's the Irish company giving the Shokron.
Oh, excellent. They'll be cheap.
Oh, we have to pay their fares, sir.
From Ireland?
No, sir. Kilburn.